So there's a number of sermons that you can go listen to if you've missed any of them. I'm not going to run through a bit of a summary today, but I can say Pietri did a brilliant job. The last time we heard him on John 15, I've been for the last week and a half, I think, but for one day, I've gone through the whole of John 15 each and every morning. It's just as if I'm camping there. It's a well for me of water. Just on pruning for joy. I believe there's dead stuff in my life, maybe in ministry, in church, dead things that the Lord needs to cut away so that we may bear fruit. And that we may have His joy and that our joy may be complete. So I love that. So thank you, Pietri, for that. I'm still actually meditating on that, and I believe I will do so probably well into the December holiday. But I want to just quickly lift up one reality to us, and that is joy, raw and real. And so I want to ask you a very simple question. What comes to mind? What do you feel when you think about God? I think there should be a question there. Yes. What do you feel when you think about God? Just quickly, we don't have much time. You need to help me here. What do you think when love? Freedom, yes. Light, yes. Big, yes. Faithful. I missed that, but it sounds biblical. Comfort. Power. But who's ever thought of God and you didn't have good feelings? Come on. Come on. Who's ever thought of God and you're like, ugh, ugh, or ouch? Shoo, lots of honesty all of a sudden. Maybe we should have services for the next 3 weeks. But that, I love that. Because that's the reality of life, and that's what we grapple with. I think the most important thing of life is to find out who this God is, to get to know Him, and as you get to know Him, you get to know yourself. And it's going to have ups and downs. It's a bit of a roller coaster. It's not an easy, tarred road. It's a trail run with the Lord as you find out who this beautiful God is, in line with the Word. Can't get all airy-fairy without Scripture. But some seasons when I've gone through, now when I stand here and you lift up words and I don't know where to put my head and I'm crying like a baby, I see God and I enjoy Him. But honestly, in ministry, sometimes I don't feel that and I'm thinking, Lord, where are you? Who are you? What is this that I got myself into? And that's the realities of life, but it's beautiful that we work and process through that. And I think it's important because I'm going to talk about something, and unless you believe in the goodness of God, we might struggle with that. You need to make up your mind. You need it settled in your heart. Is He a good God or not? And I know His goodness is not determined by your circumstances or feelings. Amen? Our theology is based upon the Word of God, not my experience. But let's be honest, when we talk about joy, my experience kind of matters. So if my experience is like, ugh, who's this God? Then what needs to change? Scripture or me? Me, through Scripture, the Holy Spirit, healing and restoration. So when you sit here today and like nod and smile, but actually inside of you like, who is this God? Stop there. Don't even listen to the rest of the sermon. Deal with that. Because that's real Christianity. Somebody put up the banner real for words for me. But I believe that's real Christianity. Say, Lord, I want to see Your goodness and experience Your goodness because I believe in the Holy Scripture. I see the testimony throughout history and I know where I'm heading, but Lord, something is not aligning. And so we need that to align. Bill Johnson says the following, what you believe about God determines everything. We could actually just stop there. What you believe about God determines everything. That includes finance, sex, material stuff, the future, the past, savings, giving out and handing out and loving on the poor, going to the nations, making disciples, what car you drive. I believe everything actually is determined by what you actually think about God. It can either fuel your prayer life with faith and expectation or quench it with uncertainty and doubt. You either see a faithful Father who never changes and is always faithful, or you see a detached deity. This God, not with a capital letter, whose character is unpredictable. This unpredictable deity that you can't really trust. And if sometimes you feel like that, say, hey, Lord, I feel like that. Here's the thing. God doesn't have a chip on the shoulder. He knows what I think and what we experience, and we can come close and say, Lord, something's amiss. What I see in Scripture is not echoed here. I once, and I have shared the testimony, when we stepped out in faith and it felt like everything fell apart in Malmesbury, I once drove up in Voortrekker Road, like every little small town has a Voortrekker Road, drove up in Voortrekker Road, and I said to the Lord, thinking of a couple of people that I knew that stepped out in faith, and like, Lord, what about this one and that one, and what did they do, and what happened there? And He just clearly as daylight just showed me the Bible. And that was just applicable for me then. He said, these are the examples and the testimonies you stand on. We don't know the full picture of all of those stories. He said, stand upon my word. And I believe He's calling His church back to His word. Why? Because we need to know His goodness and character in and out of good seasons. Why do we say that? Because we said to one another, joy is a deep-seated emotion. Emotions are good. Men, emotions are all good. But listen up. Joy is a deep-seated emotion tied to an experience, again, a feeling word, of God's presence, blessing, and His promises. So joy is a feeling, and it's okay to have these emotions, but it's tied to what? The reality of experience with God. And don't expect to have real joy if there's no experience and connection with God. Or if something's gone amiss, if you've really been hurt like we all have had, then you need to say, Lord, I'm going to stop rather. Like I had to say to Annika today, I'm carrying a bit of a strain at the moment. I should actually not run. I saw her in Bloberg, and I said, I should actually not run. Heal up and then go. But I couldn't, because I really like running and I need it for my mind and my family. But when you realize I don't believe in that, when there's a niggle in your heart of God's faithfulness and goodness, stop. Say, Lord, let's address this first. And then we go for this joy thing again. Because what we believe about God is very important. Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Sometimes we feel like that, dried up bones. And sometimes I believe it actually comes through in your physical body. But what do we need? We need the joyful heart, not what a flippant happiness as the world knows it. No, true, found, character-filled, this is who my God is, eternal joy. And then that blesses our hearts. Why did I say all of this? Why did I put that foundation down? Because I want to say one thing as we end of this season and as we end of this theme. Is that you know that joy is a command. Did you know that Scripture commands you to have joy? Who likes a good old command? Edna says there's characters or personality types called command men. Never heard of her. But anyway, who likes a good old command? If you've got a flesh, if you're alive, if you breathe, then we don't necessarily always like a command. But it all depends on the authority. It all depends on the heart. It all depends on who and why they give the command, right? And if this God who is so good and so loving and so caring, and if I'm okay with Him and if I'm in line with His Scripture, and if we've got real intimacy and relationship and He commands, I'm like, yes, of course. Of course I know You. I don't want to do anything but. Like for the kids, I saw this banner over them, obedience. Why? It's not because they highlight obedience, besides because they know this God to be good. He's a good Father. Hence they say, we don't know what we're getting up to, but we're just saying yes. And so when He commands me to rejoice, then I'm like, yes, sir. Yes, absolutely. But when I go like, ugh, then I need to deal with the ugh. Quickly, we've, like many other things today, quickly, we're going to use two words tied to joy, both rejoice and joy. If you look at the Greek, it's two words, but they've got the same root word. So that first one, charete, you can try, is very simply rejoice, and then kara is joy. But you'll see the root word is exactly the same, char. Now, why am I saying this? Because I don't want us to get confused. We're talking about joy, but now we're talking about rejoicing. But it's one and the same thing. And I like that last part that it says, joy is often seen as the inner state. You need that inner state joy first. Before what? It bubbles up. It bubbles up. Now, I love, where's Zohar? Zohar's somewhere around there. He is. Now, you see the joy coming out of that man by what? the fact that he's rejoicing. We see him worship and praise God. So thank you for the zeal. But it needs to start somewhere. It starts, it's the joy on the inside bubbling out, and it comes through praise and rejoicing. So when we say rejoice today in Scripture, it also means to have joy and to be filled with joy. So I've already asked the question, do you actually know that joy is a command? How does it sit with you if you hear you are commanded by Scripture to rejoice? How does it sit with you? Please give a quick, very honest answer. How does it sit with you if I say to you, Scripture says, rejoice. And not even that, we're going to get to it soon. Rejoice always. How does that sit with you? Thank you, Zohar. Yes. You don't have a choice. Yes. That's good. You're actually right. Biblically speaking, you don't have a choice. If you're honestly, truly a Christian, according to Scripture, you don't have a choice. That's why I said we need to lay a foundation. Is he good? How do I feel about him? What do I think about him? Because when I say he commands me to rejoice, and it's like, CV. It's too good to be true? In what sense? Amen. Feels like it's too good to be true that we can be rejoicing always. I believe that people that truly live by the Spirit rejoices always. I think for the little I may be full of joy and rejoicing might be parallel to how much I actually walk in the Spirit. That's maybe a sermon for another day. But how do you feel, just lastly, how do you feel if I say you are commanded, Orfi, to rejoice? Exactly. Thank you, Orfi. It's difficult to rejoice if you don't know him. Because we what? Look at circumstances, feelings, and stuff that we're going through, we lose sight of who he is, or we might not know him intimately and deeply, how loving, how caring, how perfect, how close, and how he shines his face on us, and then what? We're like, rejoice for what? It just very simply means, I am not seeing anymore. I have lost sight. You can ask my wife, I've lost sight this morning. Like, Sundays are sometimes a bit tough. Need to arm wrestle a couple of things, both spiritually and emotionally. I'm like, oh, this day. Here, here you are. And then he needs to come and restore my sight. Dirk.
You say all of that on the air? With a military background, it's almost like counterintuitive because it's like ordering a squad of soldiers to start dancing and really enjoy themselves. I find it ironic. It's just counterintuitive. And it's an order. I love it. It gives us permission to actually do this.
I like that. What I can add to that is the mere fact that, yes, we are soldiers, but luckily we're family as well. And so they don't have a choice. They're enslaved, but yet we are called the sons and daughters of promise. So we do have a choice, but it is out of a love. And so Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what? My afterthoughts? My good ideas? No. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. And so just as much as we have that military sense, we can pull it through and say, thank you, Lord, that we are your soldiers, but we are also your family. And it's now because of a love relationship. So I said here three things. How is it possible that he can command me to have joy, this feeling? I said three things. I said joy is essential and not optional. Guys, if you're a Christian and you never ever have joy or have enough joy, or we as a church have no joy, we're running into deep trouble. It's not a nice to have at a celebration service. It should be a lifestyle. And if we don't have it, we need to stop and say, Lord, help me. That's what we're doing. So firstly, it's essential, not optional. The second thing is God only commands which is possible. God will never command something from you which is impossible. With his grace and help, of course. So if he said to you, walk on water, guess what? You are able to walk on water. Even if you go further, I don't have the time now, but even if you go look at it, even as God created by what? Speaking in his breath, in his command, lies the grace and empowerment to do it. So if he says to you, lay down your life in this particular area, then in the command, the ability comes. Because he's spirit. If he says to you, give, in his command comes the empowerment. If he says, shush your trap. Don't speak now. Hold back. Then you'll be able to bite your tongue and have patience. And all the ladies went like, amen. But in the command lies the possibility. And lastly, his command is because of his love. Again, we see his character. What do I actually believe about him? If he commands me, rejoice always. What I believe about him? Do I know that it's an essential for me? It's not just this topic that our church did way back when. Let me go listen to the sermon. No, I need to be living his joy. Is joy and rejoicing commanded in Scripture? Yes, definitely. I can't go through all of the Scriptures, but just as proof, you can see there. To Israel, he said all of that. And there's more, by the way. Not only to Israel did he say, rejoice and have joy and be glad. He said it to all the nations and the natural world. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Just imagine that. Guess what? At the end of time, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is what? Lord. And once we can see, everybody can see, they will not but be able to say, we glorify your name. So praise God, I would much rather just bow my knee now and confess with my tongue right now before it's too late. You can go to the next slide. Thanks. And then in the New Testament, we say, see Christ again, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. He said, leap for joy. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Rejoice with me. So each and every time we see rejoice, it means be full of joy. Be full of joy. All over in Scripture, it's commanded. And then Paul loved it. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice always. Be glad and rejoice with me. Rejoice in the Lord. He says, like, joy, joy, joy. I command you be a people of joy, joy, joy. And you're like, okay, yes, you know better. I love your commands. And it will be possible. But not my circumstances. Because of your character, your truth, your word, and your spirit, because of Jesus Christ, I will rejoice. I will glad. I will search because it is in you. If you're a born-again Christian, the Spirit is in you. The fruit of the Holy Spirit being joy is in you. It's in there somewhere. I don't care whatever you're going through. I respect that some of us go through tough stuff. And I'm not saying that in the heat of the moment, now you need to like pop the champagne. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the reality is we're not going to get stuck there. As Christians, we're called to be a people of joy. And then he goes on and on and on. You can go to the next slide. Thank you. A reminder again, joy is essential and not optional. God only commands what is possible, and his command is because he loves us. So you can go into December holiday knowing that you are commanded to be a person of joy. You are commanded, and please go search, go read these scriptures, and there's many others. You are commanded to rejoice in the Lord. And let's hook this into a beautiful scripture that Paul gave us. And that is a joy command for flourishing. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, and we exhort you, brothers, warn those who are irresponsible. He's speaking to a church, obviously. Say to those that are irresponsible, be careful. Comfort the discouraged. Those who are weighed down by life's cares, pick them up. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. So he's just like, hey, kids, love one another. Hey, guys, look out for one another. And then he says, here is three things for you. Rejoice always. He commands them. He's writing to us. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Pray constantly. Give thanks in. Oy. Hectic. Give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit. I believe those three things are people that are mature walking by the Spirit. They rejoice always. They pray constantly and they give thanks in everything. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. And then he goes on. Now, if you go look in the New Living Translation, there where it says rejoice always, we read always be joyful. So not only did we do 6 weeks of what joy is, but now we hear it is a command of a good, loving Father saying, hey, be full of joy always. So when I'm caught napping and I'm like, I'm very far from joy, I say, Lord, help me to partner again with your truth, to be joyful. Because what are my neighbors seeing? Sorry, Phil. What are my children seeing? What are the people at work seeing of my Christianity? What is the reality of my Christianity? I'm not saying let's be fake, nod and smile. Ah, your brother, your sister. No, not that. True found. You hit the well of joy and rejoicing because you said, yes, if it's a command, it is good for me. Can't read through the context of all of that. We know that Paul wrote this letter to the church in Thessalonica. He was encouraging them, and this came after eschatology. In other words, talking about the end times and return of Christ. But bottom line is he wanted this for them. As I believe, the Lord wants this for us. He wants us to flourish. Who wants to flourish? Hallelujah. He wanted them to grow spiritually, become mature. Who wants to grow spiritually? He wanted them to live in unity with one another. Who's keen on that? Hallelujah. You had me nervous there. And he wanted them, lastly, to be ready for the return of Jesus. Very short. This is basics for Christian living, for daily Christian living. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything. Then you will flourish, grow spiritually. You will, funny enough, in love, walk in unity with those around you, and you'll be ready when Jesus returns. I would love that. So I want us to take this home and take this into the holidays and say, Lord, thank you that not only do we feel this, not only have we renewed our mind about what joy is, not only do we know it's part of being righteous and we are pruned, etc., but we also know it's a command, and your commands are loving, caring, and good for us. I want to choose rejoicing. I want to choose joy daily. Not the flippant things of the world and culture and of holidays. No, I want to choose what is truly rejoicing. Lord, help me with that. The three is rejoice always. Will you choose joy always? For some of us, this might be pretty new, right? Is it? Some of us might be pretty new to say, I'm always going to choose to rejoice. Albert, you rejoice a lot, don't you? Or are you just very nice? You're a nice guy. But I'm sure it's bedded in there somewhere that you rejoice in God's goodness, that in spite of stuff not always being easy, you know the character of God, hence you choose to rejoice. Who likes pray constantly? I'm sure the Hebrew and the Greek says this, non-stop, 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 non-stop. Please don't allow the Lord to lead you in a desert season to where you learn to pray. Start right now. You don't have to go to a Malmesbury season to learn to pray. You've got the grace that you can learn to pray constantly and totally every single day. Because we can paint this all nice and beautiful to one another, but pray constantly means what? It's very deep. It means to pray constantly. So if you've got a verse of the day and you've got a skietgebekie, that is not the command of Scripture. That is not the command of the Lord, and you cannot expect to have the true joy of the Lord in your life, and we will see it on your face. So I would suggest that we say yes to Scripture and to the Holy Spirit's help, because we need that. And that we become a people, and it need not be, we'll leave a father in the Himmel. No, talk to the Lord. Don't be flippant and arrogant, no, because that's not our vibe, but speak to Him, invite Him in into everything. Pray constantly. We're not going to hit the pause, run out here, go have a holiday, come back, pick up the pieces and see how we can try to grow next year. No, we're going to go out rejoicing because we know He's good and His character. We're going to what? Pray constantly. So Lord, I want to just be talking to You, found talking to You the whole time. And then lastly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, we all are mature here, but have you ever found young people coming to you saying, I don't know what God's will for my life is? Guess what? You have an answer for them. There's a command in Scripture saying to you, young person, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. But I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know God's will. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks to God in everything. You know what happens? We start to see. It recalibrates the heart. It recalibrates you to see. And funny enough, you'll stumble upon your calling. You'll stumble upon what God is saying and whispering in the direction He's giving you. If we listen and heed to Scripture, a joyful people, totally connected with Him in intimacy, knowing Him as a good Father. And in spite of circumstances, in spite of economy, in spite of stuff that happens in our life that really, 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 really sucks, we say, thank you, Lord. Because it's a humble person. That scripture calls a humble person. Give thanks in everything. Give thanks in everything. It calls a humble person to the ways of the Lord. Because you know what? Entitlement kills. If you walk around with entitlement and pride and arrogance, criticizing the ways of God, you're going to miss this out. We can reverse this, reverse engineer this. But if you actually say thank you and realize that the breath in your lungs, the salvation upon your heart is actually just, along with all the other stuff, grace, and you start thanking Him for everything, even the challenges, it goes over into a person that is constantly praying, and lastly, you cannot but have joy. This calls the humble to a place of godliness. And last thing before we end off, is that, funny enough, all three of those things I saw had to do not only with a humble spirit, a teachable spirit, but it had to do with the mouth. What am I doing with my mouth? So what are you doing with your mouth? Here's three things for the holiday that you can do with your mouth. It is not trifle. No, 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 no. It's not pina coladas at the beach. No, it's not ice cream. But this is what you can do with your mouth during the holiday. Because in it is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. You can use that beautiful mouth of yours and say, Lord, I rejoice always. I pray constantly. I chat with you. I talk to you. I converse with you. I commune with you. And if it's good or bad, Lord, I choose to give thanks in all things because I know that I'm eternally called and this is temporary. This is temporary. And this is what I choose to do with my mouth. Give thanks, pray constantly, rejoice always. Will you stand with me as we close in prayer? You've just witnessed a miracle, by the way. Thank you. I see that, Anne. Lord, I thank you that we will not know, Lord, your character unless we know your word and unless we've been with you, spent time with you, Lord. So as a parting blessing that John gave us, Lord, may we spend time with our Father. May the mornings of 5 a.m. club belong to our Father. Even in the holiday time, for some it might be the 7 or 8 o'clock a.m. hour, may it belong to you, Lord. May we know you intimately and know your character and your goodness well. May we know that your face shine upon us. May we know that our joy is complete there in your presence. And from that place, Lord, may we be real Christians with real Christian living because you command us to. Thank you, Lord. We receive the command to rejoice always. We receive the command to be a people of prayer constantly. And we receive the command to say that we will give thanks in everything. Not if I like the gift, not if everything went according to my way, or the side was actually my liking at dinner. No, in everything I will choose to say thank you. If you receive wholeheartedly these three commands in your life, just afresh, just raise your hand, just to solidify this. Say, yes, Lord, I say yes to your command because I believe in your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for these hands. Just saying, Lord, we say yes to the command, but we know there's grace needed to fulfill it and walk it out. And now we also say thank you for the grace. Just say thank you for the grace, Lord. To be reminded. Holy Spirit, we grant you the permission to remind us constantly in our hearts, billboards, scripture, quiet times, remind us of this constantly. We give you permission to remind us constantly to be a people full of joy always, praying constantly and giving thanks in everything. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your blessing and that you just come and seal this off. May your seeds of your word bring forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold. And may these seeds of the scripture not be stolen from our hearts in any way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.